Today is a topical sermon. We're used to going verse by verse. Today, we don't just want to see what one scripture has to say. We want to try to get a feeling for what all of scripture has to say on this topic of the Sabbath. So that might have us going faster than you like in some places. Topical preaching always will raise up questions for specific people that we can't take the time to honor. So find someone, a Christian friend, that you can talk to and reflect on this sermon about. That's what my growth group will do tonight. And if you don't have a growth group or Christian friends, come talk to me. But just to let you know, we will kind of go fast. And just so for some structure, this is kind of the four sections we're going to go through today. Hopefully we'll see what the Sabbath was, what it means to the church, how we can try to do it today. That's the work that we're going to get on, and we'll start with a question. What is the Sabbath, or Shabbat? If you have a Jewish or Seventh-day Adventist friend, they might practice it from Friday to Saturday, or you're probably familiar with it because it's one of the Ten Commandments. God gave this command to Israel twice, in Exodus as well as Deuteronomy. We're going to look at both of those Sabbath commandments within the Ten Commandments. And I want you to pay attention not just to what was commanded, but why. Why? Not all commandments come with a why. These came with a reason why the Sabbath should be observed. This is Exodus 20. By the way, it might fatigue you today if you try to keep up flipping pages in your Bible, so maybe that's a challenge for some of you. Like, I can get there. But if it helps you, I'll have the scripture on the screen also. All right, this is God's word, Exodus 20. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. It started by saying, keep it holy. The Lord made it holy in creation. So what is the Sabbath? It's that seventh day of the week given to God with no work. Why do we Sabbath? Exodus says, this is what God did. He created the universe, he did it in 6 days, and then he rested, making that day special, making that day set apart, making that day holy. If a literal six-day creation is a hang-up for you, we can't take the time to deal with that there. I know there's a creationist group that likes to delve into those subjects of what happened before history. I know there's scientific thinkers out there, and even a lot of Christians have different stances on this. For today, if you have a skeptical scientific brain going, I want you to direct that towards the command of the Sabbath. Are we creatures that need this Sabbath rest? And is this kind of rest what is good for the human body and soul and spirit? Kind of measure that. Wisdom is shown by its fruits. So if you're skeptical and a thinker, and that's how you're going to approach God, ask yourself the question, does God know something that I don't? Is God wise? For some of us, that's laughable. Praise God. For some of us, we'll find our way by his grace. All right. Deuteronomy was a second telling of the law. This was after the Israelites had wandered, got lost, disobeyed God in the desert. He told them the Ten Commandments again. It says this, observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, And the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. I didn't flip that for you. Sorry about that. That's the why. So what is the Sabbath? A holy day of rest that's shared with those people around you, even the people that work for you. Unbelieving sojourners are to be included in that rest. And why do we Sabbath? It's different this time. Scripture tells us here that God commands that we rest because of his work. Because God is a deliverer of his people with a strong and mighty hand, it's because of that that we rest. The Israelites were lost. They were wandering. They were in slavery before that. And then God rescued them and carried them along with his power and his might. And he commands them to stop their busyness. Not business, their busyness. It's one of my favorite words. It's not a real word. To lay down that busyness and remember him. Who's got the whole world in his hands? You remember that song? God does. Who provides you work and keeps you in good standing at your job? God does that. Who's got your marriage in his hands? That's the Lord. Who's caring for your kids? That's God. Anybody remember Tetris? This is like an age test. Some people, I think, still play Tetris, but it was one of those first games. My dad would play it. I think this was how he would Sabbath. And this was one of those childhood memories. I would, like, sit on his lap while he played Tetris, and, you know, you line up the bricks, come down. They come down slowly, and, you know, you watch the rows wipe out. Sometimes you would line it up just perfect. So I'm waiting for that four long one, and it comes, and it wipes out four at the same time. And then more and more start coming down. They come faster. My dad does the best he can. And sometimes he would get a high score. And I'm just sitting there watching. And he types in J-O-N, my name. That's about how much help I bring to my life. God is in control. God's doing the doing with his mighty outstretched arm, so that I can rest. God gives us the gift of the Sabbath so that we don't forget to worship him, thinking that we are who we are because of our work. Sabbath is worshipful rest. This is a beautiful principle. But how do you get thousands of people to actually do it and obey it? Well, in Israel, the principle of Sabbath became the law of the Sabbath. The command to keep the Sabbath holy is given in the Bible without much added clarity. It's given, do not work. So what is work? Jewish tradition produced a list of the types of things, a list of 40 minus one melachot. Even today, Orthodox Jews continue to interpret these to include things like email, driving, shopping. In Jesus' day, this was common knowledge to him, his disciples, and the religious leaders. Today, we know phrases like paid time off, flexible work arrangement, sick days. They knew these 39 laws, and they could probably name them all. We won't go through them one by one, but if you can glaze over them, what is very interesting is a lot of this work is the type of work that you would do while you're in the home. The work on the house, the work and the relationships in the home, that has an impact on the place where God called his people to take rest. The vibe in your home is something that God cares about. In God's kindness, out of God's kindness for families and for you and your friends and those people around you that you would Sabbath with, he gives these commands. They were forbidden from doing busy work. They were to get together and worship and rest. All of us can think of a restless person, someone that stresses us out to be around. that drains us when we're with them. Sabbath caused some good trouble, forcing people to love one another, reconcile, and work things out and find peace together. And the way that happens has a way of smoothing over the rough edges of those people that are a little harder to be with. And I know that because I have been one of them. And God still works on me in this way by putting loving, patient people in my life. I'm not doing it on purpose, I swear. But let's pray that the church continues to be a place that does this, bringing people into conformity with Christ's character. During Passover, it was an 8-day festival, and you get 2 bonus Sabbaths when you did Passover, except for every 7 years when it landed on a Saturday. So what God instituted in the Old Testament, when hunger was an issue, starvation was an issue, backbreaking agrarian work before they had robots that farmed for us, God instituted a time when families were to get together 4 days off in an 8-day period without tourist travel. This is, God basically institutes a family vacation in the Old Testament. That's how important rest was to God. I find it very interesting how God's law is written on our hearts. It's not written on our sinful nature, so we want to push God away in some ways. But you will continue to find, and unbelievers will continue to find throughout their life, a way in which their heart draws them towards God and his loving principles. He loves you. He wants you to have peace. He wants you to be rested so you can do good work. So if you like time off work and vacation and rest and you want that, God wants that for you. And he created you in a way that he knows what you need. And it's good to follow him. I have given up trying to find joy and peace apart from Jesus Christ. And I hope that you give up that kind of self-motivated striving as well, and that you find rest in his name. God gave the law of the Sabbath as a gift. So if the Sabbath is a gift, do we keep it? Should Christians keep the Sabbath? We're going to go to Mark chapter 2, which Pastor Andrew preached on September the 8th. I think all of Pastor Andrew's sermons are worth a second listen, but this one was. He talked about how God gave us a 7-day week. People have tried to change this. People have tried to go to a 10-day week. People hate it. They always go back to the way God wants it, 7 days in a week. He noticed that religious leaders, they hate fun. They just love making things strict and judgmental and hard on God's people, and they even miss the point. So they made the Sabbath all about those melachot, those rules, and it wasn't even about worship. Real quick, we'll reread from Mark. This is Jesus. He says, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath." Jesus pulls rank here. You can think about this. God created man, special in God's image, set apart, and then he gave them the Sabbath. The Sabbath was for people to have, to help people. And he says, do you know who I am? I am the Son of Man, the prophesied Messiah from the Old Testament. I don't receive that. That was below me. I came to love, to seek and save the lost, and I am over the Sabbath. Jesus is going to come and bring a new covenant in his blood, where we are accepted by God by grace through faith and not by following those rules. Hebrews 4 continues on this point. This book was written to help Jews find Jesus. It says, "So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered rest, God's rest, has also rested from his works as God did from his." Notice how this echoes that commandment, but increases the rest to include the commandments themselves. We rest even from the commandments. We can't read all of Hebrews today, but it shows that Jesus' lordship over the Sabbath is more than just a rule or a law. It's peace with God under a whole new covenant with Jesus as a greater high priest. We come to God through Jesus based on faith and not by works. This frees up Christians from the law forbidding them to do those 39 things on the Sabbath, on a Saturday. Christians are not required to keep the Sabbath. Jesus brings a better Sabbath. If anyone here is trying to earn their salvation, you don't have work to do. You have rest to do. Jesus has done the work for you. He's giving it to you as a gift that you cannot earn. The way that you can find peace with God is through what Jesus Christ has done on your behalf, not by your works. Amen. We'll look at one more scripture to reinforce this idea that we're not required to keep the Sabbath, but also we're going to see that we're free from the law, but we're not quite free to sin and do whatever we want. The principle of God's wisdom lives on. Let's see what Romans 6 has to say, and I know it's kind of a crime to take as little time as we will with a passage like this, but let's read it. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. I'm speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting in that time for the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you've been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So much there that we can't cover today, but the main idea is we're free from the letter of the law, not the principle of it. And I like how Paul even clarifies, like, I'm speaking in human terms here. When there was a law of the first covenant, sin ruled over us as if we were enslaved and attached to it. But now that there's a covenant of grace, it doesn't mean we're free to break all the old laws because the principles of those laws were still good. So we seem to agree when we look at most of the Ten Commandments that we still honor the principle of them. We don't have to follow the record of the law, thou shalt not murder. There are murderers that receive Christ and have eternal life. But we agree murder's not a good idea. Let's not do it. Stealing, man, I had the thought, my kids, we give them chores and they get money and they save money and they spend money, and man, if stealing was ever an issue in my house, man, that would make my house a hard place to live. Stealing corrupts the world. We should not steal. But the Lord says to keep the Sabbath day holy. What do we have to say about that? The Sabbath is so good. Jewish people have a saying, Shabbat Shalom, which literally means have a peaceful Sabbath, have a peaceful Saturday, but it's so much more than that. The root meaning of that word has to do with order, with everything as it should be. Like if you were laying bricks, and if you've ever laid bricks before, if you start getting one wrong, they all go wrong, but if you lay them all right and you look back at them, it's just, that's shalom. When you finish a good work and it's done, that's shalom. When you hear a song and the audio is all balanced right and it just makes you forget that you're listening to music and you're just feeling it, that music is shalom. You might have had that feeling on a vacation where you're like, man, why can't all of life be like this? The Jews would say, you're feeling shalom. God wants us to experience moments in our lives where things are just as they should be, where we lay down our work, our quarreling and our striving after things outside of the home so that we can receive the gift of Sabbath alongside those that rest with us. The Sabbath is a gift that God gives to us, meeting our soul deep needs. And it's a closer glimpse of what heaven is like, where we worship God and let God restore us in his presence. We're not going to leave today declaring a day of the week and rules of how we all need to follow them. I'm going to give you a principle. So this is what you need to see. What is the Sabbath? Sabbath rest is worshipful. It's for God, it's about God, and it's recreation. More on that in a little bit. But let's look at Sabbath rest being worshipful. When we Sabbath, we delight in God. Psalm 111 says, "Praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord with all my heart in the council of the upright and in the assembly. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them." Many of us did that this morning as the band played. We sung and joined the chorus singing to God. Some of you are uncomfortable with singing, and that's okay. Not everyone sings, but it might be because of anxiety that people will hear me and think about me and think things about me that I don't sing. Anxiety oversimplified, and this is not a full talk on anxiety, but oversimplified anxiety is self-focus. If you want worshipful Sabbath rest, get the focus on God. Worship. Sing out of tune. We welcome that here. Delight in him. And what you might find is that God delights in us. This is Zephaniah. "The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing." The truth that God loves you, that sinks deeper and deeper into our hearts when we make space in our lives for Sabbath. And take a look at this from 1 Corinthians. When an unbeliever or outsider enters into a worship service, when he hears the word of God, he is convicted by all. He is called to account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed, and so, falling on his face, he will worship God and declare that God is really among you. How we worship, how we Sabbath shows Jesus to the world. Not necessarily how we do church, but how we delight in God and how he delights in us. This is a powerful idea, that the sojourners among us are friends that haven't quite made peace with God. They will find peace with God by first accessing that through you. When you invite them over to have dinner, when you have coffee with them, when you bring them to church on Easter, that peace in you transfers to them. Sabbath rest is worshipful. The Sabbath is also about recreation, how God recreates us through this time of Sabbath. I love smart people that think about these things. I'm going to read a quote from the book where I got that in a minute. But let's look at God's word. 2 Corinthians says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." Remember those statistics on burnout? How do you think those would change if everyone honored God and rested and took Sabbath and let God restore them spiritually, emotionally, mentally, and physically? God is doing this all the time. But let's read some verses on it. "Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit." We are strengthened when we have God's presence with us and allow our hearts to receive his joy spiritually, emotionally. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. fools despise wisdom and instruction. There's a lot out there on mental health. The best content out there is God's word. One more. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. God is so good, and he gives us strength every day. When we give our whole selves to God in worship, as Romans 12 tells us to do, God molds, strengthens, and restores us. God is not done creating. Submitting to God allows him, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to continually make you a new creation. Let me read from that book that I read during seminary. It is not just for ministers. The book is called Preventing Ministry Failure, but when it talks about living out your calling, I want you to think to what God has called you to. The work, the job God's called you to, and the people work and the spiritual work. How do you get strength for that? To be at our best, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, we must engage in recreation, a necessary and God-intended part of the human experience that recreates the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual resources we've expended in the pursuit of our calling. Without replenishing internal resources, we can't hope to carry out God's purpose in our lives long term. Instead, we will prematurely flame out. God's rhythm in life involves hard work and the gift of rest, recreating us to be able to endure and make progress in that work. It's a rhythm to work and rest, and work from that rest, and work hard until you need rest. Work, when we do it right, exhausts ourselves for God's glory. Colossians 3:23 says, don't even work like you're working for your boss. Work as if you're working for the Lord. Work should be draining. Some of us know that. Some of us overdo that. That work creates a need for Sabbath rest, worshipful Sabbath rest, that where we delight in God, knowing that he fights for us and knowing that he delights in us. And rest, where we also allow God to do this recreating work, restoring us, filling us with what we need to do our work. All right, we're getting close to the end here, getting to the good stuff, so I hope you've been tracking. God gave the Sabbath as a gift so that we would remember him and get the rest we need. This became a law that wasn't exactly just right. Those laws didn't achieve the principles God had ordained in it. So Jesus, being Lord of the Sabbath, says, you know what? You all can forget about those laws, but you still need rest. The Sabbath is still something that was created, that was good, that you need it. So we should try to do it and think about it. Through Christ and the Holy Spirit, we have an even better Sabbath if we can just do it, if we can rest in God. So how can we do that? Here's a scripture to guide us. Ephesians 5 says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. In a society where burnout and anxiety and self-focus are the norm, I don't know how to say it other than don't let yourself just swim downstream. This comes in many different forms, or people will say, like, hey, you know, everybody's doing this. Why don't we do this at church? They're like, hey, why don't we try it this way? Why don't we load more on the schedule? We'll load more on the church calendar. We live in a world that always thinks it can do too much and ends up burnt out and not doing good work well. And notice I said in the 21st century, In the 20th century, America had laws that resembled those 40 minus 1 Melahot, the blue laws. Some of them are still around, forcing businesses to close. Some things were different because it was a day for the Lord. There was a good principle behind those laws. Many of those are going away as they're becoming a more secular and more busy culture. For some of us, and this is might be some of the more the saints that recognize what Tetris is, we need to rethink our cultural ideas about the Sabbath. I don't recommend, actually, that we try and get back to an American cultural Sunday from 1970 or even 1990. Instead, aim right at that principle of the Sabbath. Aim to have Sabbath rest that is worshipful, that recreates you, that gives you energy, and then share that with others. Spread that around town. The inventions of the internet, social media, ongoing advancements in robotics, artificial intelligence that affect our work and our play in all these different ways, we have to take those into consideration and think about those and question if those things make us restless. What does it look like for your household and those friends that you share that downtime with to rest and get Sabbath, to experience moments of peace and shalom that draw your hearts to God and restore your strength? Well, that's going to take some work, so I want to start with some objections for how, if you're saying, I can't Sabbath, I won't do it. Some of you might think, I just don't want to do that, Pastor John. Why? Why will I do the Sabbath? I don't want to do it. I've lived a little bit, and I can share that in my younger years as a Christian, I had no trouble obeying God when I agreed with him, and his commands made sense to me. But there was a lot of rules that and laws and God's commands that I found to be legalistic, and I tried to work my way around them. In time, I have grown in agreement with God, and there are consequences for the ways in which we don't live in obedience to God's word. So I just want to say, especially if you're younger and you're hustling and you're living the world's way, I challenge you to rest in a way that honors the Sabbath, and you might find that has a meaningful impact on your life. You will say, I don't have time for the Sabbath, and you're probably right. You could prioritize and save things for later. You could delegate for other people to do things, and you might just have to say no and cut some things out of your life. And that will be hard, but what do you have to gain? Being a person at peace, that's focused with an unclouded mind, in right relationship with God, where you're growing in him, I think those benefits are worth the costs. And lastly, if you don't know how, man, if you've been around church, you've met people that have benefited from approximately 20 years of discipleship through godly parents, and they grew up in it. They couldn't get away from it, and they seem to just get it. I want to tell you that God's not behind in your life. He doesn't feel like he's behind in recreating you, so I don't want you to feel behind. We have an answer for that. Get in a room of 2 to 12 people. Make a Christian friend. Join a growth group and ask those people, hey, what do you guys do to recharge? I'm exhausted over here. What do you guys do? How can we do this together? That was what God intended, that we grow alongside one another. And what a good thing when we can serve God in that way and receive from the Lord through our brothers and sisters. All right. So this is like our launching off point. I trust that many of you see the need for Sabbath, and you're trying to think about how I'm going to do it. What I can't do is I cannot tell you exactly what to do and how to do it and when to do it, so I'm giving guidelines. When you are off work and with your family, remind yourself to seek shalom, rest that's worshipful, or a time that restores you and recharges you. If you do that every week, and just try to do it, if you do that for 3 months, you're going to come up with your routine. I can't just tell you what to do because we're all different. Here's what I do. I wake up on Friday mornings, and I don't change. I stay in my pajamas, I drink coffee, and I read my Bible unhurried, long after the kids have started school. Some days of the week, I have to read my Bible quick. I can't get to as much as I want to, and I just have to get to the work. Friday, I just enjoy Scripture, and I read until I want to stop. And then I'll play disc golf. I'll play board games. And some of you will be like, I don't like those things, and I work on Fridays. It doesn't work for me. This is why I have to give you guidelines. Some of you enjoy a relaxing day on the golf course. I have never relaxed while playing golf, and I have tried. I get this anxiety that when I hit a bad shot, it will slow down the group behind me, even if there is no group behind me. I can't get away from it. So I say that to you because someone's going to say to you, oh, the way you need the Sabbath, oh, you got to crochet. And you're going to say, crocheting makes me feel, I get all worked up and I can't enjoy crocheting. So that's not for you. You'll have to find something that what is gives you peace, is worshipful, that you can do alongside with God and His presence, and that restores you. One thing I will say that I'm thankful for is the Bible doesn't say you need to get yourself a Sabbath yacht and take vacations in the Caribbean. If you are broke, God loves you, and this is good news. The Sabbath is for everyone, and this actually might help you in your work to produce more and earn more, but it's not about that. It's about the Lord. Seek low-dollar things to enjoy your Sabbath that are simple. Walk around the neighborhood. Listen to music, or better yet, make music. Cook homemade food, save money instead of eating out, and if you can, enjoy that process of cooking. Whatever you do, do it while seeking worshipful Shabbat shalom. Next one, work to include those in your household. If you're single, involve your friends and involve extended family or your growth group. We are the most burnt out, restless society that this world has ever known, and that is, I don't know, 100%, 200% correlated with our technology that we use. Create rules around screens and devices and apps and stick to those rules so you actually spend time together. Dads, go find the power breaker, shut off the breaker, and then pretend you're on the phone with Delmarva. Like, we can't get the power on. You guys better get out of here quick. And then hang it up and then get the jigsaw puzzle out. Just find a way that technology doesn't get in your way. Let your email and your phone help you 6 days a week. I get it. I have one. I use it all the time. It helps my ministry. Let technology serve you 6 days a week, but if you cannot lay that down, and if you cannot turn the screens or the entertainment or the news off, you are a slave to it. And the sad news there is you are not creating space where God can create you into the new creation He wants you to be. So Sabbath from your technology. We do this together. The Sabbath empowers us to truly love one another, and that's worth fighting for. So think about the one another's in your life as you seek Sabbath. How much time should you Sabbath? That's a tricky one. If you're a busy parent, you will not get a full 24 hours. You're going to have to try to carve out a few hours where you get restful time with one another, especially in those early years of parenting. The ideal, as God said it, was sunset Friday night to sunset Saturday night. And I think there's wisdom including a full night's rest where you are at peace, and you're not busy when you lay your head down to sleep, and you're not hurried when you wake up. Aim for that. For a lot of you, practically, that's going to be Saturday night. Don't book a busy Saturday night. Make your plans end at 9 o'clock or earlier. Maybe end it with dinner. That Saturday night is a chill dinner at your house where we enjoy one another. And take that rest into Sunday morning. Don't work the room at church. Don't network. Take the mask off. Sing out a tune, give people a hug, and just simply be with one another. Man, I don't know about you. For me, that feels just right. It feels like shalom, to be with God's people at peace. Rest from work and rest from the things that make you restless. I have a lot to say here. We'll try to do it quickly. From what I've seen, marriages that are healthy, where there's two people that love one another, not a relationship where there's one overpowering another, but in healthy marriages, at least every 10 years, there's a very real marriage obstacle that might feel like a wall that can lead to long periods of tension. You can fight on the other 6 days of the week. I'm serious. Devote time where you say, we are not going to talk about the hole in the wall, honey. I'll get to it next year. Lay that down. Lay the stress down and just give yourselves to the Lord. It's not even for your spouse. It's for Him. And I'm guessing in God's wisdom that those times of tension in your marriage might get a lot shorter if you do that. Some parents never can stop worrying about their kids. Some parents always have a critical word to say. They're always pushing. Some parents, despite all the years and all the moments that God gives, never find time to delight in their kids. Some children grow up in a home where they don't feel loved. Even by parents with great intentions. Take time each week to remind yourself that God's got your kids. He's going to raise them up. They're a new creation that He's making. Just seek shalom together. The days are long and the years are short. Take the little Johnny's phone, throw it in a lake, and you can laugh about it. Maybe you have adult children. Create an environment where you can delight in them with your heart facing God, delighting in Him, letting God delight in you, and you share that with your kids. This last one's a quick one. Take all of this on any planned vacations you have. Plan less. Be spontaneous. I remember the funny conversations me and my wife used to have about this Italian restaurant we found called Giuseppe's because we had the patience to stop on vacation. And we had this joke about Giuseppe was the only one that knew how to make the meatballs. You can find entertainment and joy in just being with one another and conversing and have belly laughs. That's what family vacations are about. Don't seek to overly entertain yourself and buy these overly rich experiences or to get the most Instagrammable vacation experience. This way, you won't need to take a vacation from your vacation. Seek shalom. Give it unto the God, and let God restore you during that time that you carve out to be away. All right, that's as close as we're going to get as a how-to on the Sabbath, and I know for the people that are like, just tell me what to do. You have to find me later. I'll tell you what to do, and you're not going to like it. You have to find it yourself. Follow these principles. The Jews worked extra hard to make the Sabbath happen. They couldn't boil water, they couldn't bake. So what did they do on Friday before sunset? They baked twice as much. They boiled twice as much water. They got everything taken care of so that they could rest. This will require some intentionality and some work on your part to receive God's gift of the Sabbath that He wants to give to you, which will result in more energy, more peace, and then allowing God to renew your soul. We'll end by quoting Jesus. He taught this to a crowd of people in Matthew 11. We should just pause to think every once in a while. God came to earth. God came to earth to be with folks like us that He created. And this is what God had to say. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I am just a man, but the words you've heard today are not mine, they are God's. Hear him. He wants to peel your tired and cramped fingers off of the burden that you've been carrying, and he offers you a lighter burden. Hang out with these Christian folks. Do what they do. Love them and love me. That burden is so much lighter than what the world advertises to you and never delivers. You're trying to find your way, the world's way, wearing yourself out, burning yourself out. He wants you to be created anew, not as someone hustling through endless work, but as his child being born again to eternal peace. As I said when I came up here, Jesus gave himself for you. And if you receive him, this Lord's Supper is yours. Maybe this will be the first time for you. Come along with us. Come rest with us. Come work with us and share the riches of Jesus' grace and mercy. Worship team and those men that are going to serve, I'll invite you all to come forward and let's pray together.